Welcome to Minutes of Truth radio program brought to you by the Ellettsville Church of Christ. We invite you to open your Bible and follow along as Paul Adams leads us in a study of God's Word.
We are thankful that you have taken time today to join us for this Minutes of Truth radio broadcast. My name is Paul Adams. Mark Schatz is here, and we are really finishing up the book of 1 Peter as we'll look at verses 10 through 14 as we study together today. Last time we talked about how God has equipped us to overcome Satan, to resist him, and to remain faithful. And we'd like to continue that kind of thinking today, and let's start with verses 10 and 11.
Verse 10 says, "After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be glory, be dominion forever and ever. Amen."
As we look at this passage, we talked about here that the focus is turned back to God. He's talked about how you can overcome. But when we consider that in verse 10, Mark, what is the only way that we're going to be able to overcome our adversary? The only way we can remain faithful in the face of heavy persecution?
What's interesting to me, Paul, that in verse 10, he says, after you've suffered for a little while, and then the focus is right on God, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself. In that one verse, there's about four or five things that point directly to God. These saints and we may have to suffer a little bit while we're fighting and resisting the devil, our adversary, but God is the one who supplies everything we need to be victorious. And in verse 10, it talks about everything that God supplies, the God of all grace. He called you to his eternal glory. He's going to himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And how will that help us in our fight against the devil, Paul?
Well, as we look at that, first of all, we might notice that he says suffered a while. That may be an understatement of that, but only in the sense that it's not even comparable to the glory God has for us. But it gives us the right mindset, something that you mentioned in our last study, Mark. It gives us the right mindset that we realize that we don't trust in our own strength. We don't say, as I think you said earlier, we don't say, "I'm just so tough, I can overcome this persecution." But instead, we turn to God, and we realize that we need to rely on his strength, his grace, the glory that he gives, and the perfection, the establishment, the strengthening, and the settling of us comes from what God supplies. Here, I'm just so encouraged as we began this book, and he talks about an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled. Here he talks to these Christians, and he would point us in that same direction to think of the eternal glory that's in Christ Jesus. What a great thought. But when we think about glory, we also need to be careful that we are not heaping glory upon ourselves. Where is the right place?
The right place is in his glory and Christ. We're going to put that glory to God. We're going to put the glory to Christ. And that's where we should be. That's part of the humility and humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, is that everything we do, we point towards God and Christ to give him glory. Whatever way we live in such a way that our lives give glory to God and Jesus as we live our lives. Everything we say, everything we do. And we've noticed through 1 Peter that that's kind of been a theme of the letter as we've gone through there. That when people speak evil against us and revile against us, that the way we react to that is just to live life like God wants us to live it, Christ-like, humbling ourselves under the hand of God, and in doing so, that will give glory to God rather than ourselves. We shouldn't have the glory on ourselves because we're not looking for that kind of glory. We should be looking on the glory to God and the glory to Christ, and doing that will make it to where that we share in his eternal glory.
In verse 11, that grand statement, "To him be the glory and the dominion, the power forever and ever." And that ought to be our attitude, is that God is what's most important. And so we're remaining faithful so that we can be with God. We can go to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus. But it's to him that we realize that he has all authority, all power, for all time. Mark, he takes time here after he says those things to mention some people. In verses 12 through 14, it says, "By Silvanus, our brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying this is the true grace of God in which you stand." And he mentions, "She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you. And so does Mark, my son." What would be a purpose in mentioning in verses 12 and 13 these other Christians in other places?
Well, we saw that when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and we're faced with our adversary, that one of the things that helps us, other than God's strength, and just in addition to all of that, one thing that should reassure us and should help us in verse 9 is that our other brethren who are in the world, we're not alone here on this earth when we're trying to serve God, that there's others who are trying to serve God and being persecuted for it. They're being hunted by the devil for it. And that should give us some encouragement. That should give us some help in facing these temptations. And all through the book that we've looked at, since we're kind of wrapping the book up today, all through the book he's talked about the others, how our example could have a good effect for others, and how we're to love others, and we're to think about others, and how our faith in Christ will make a difference in how we treat other people and even other Christians. And what he does here at the end of the chapter, as he's writing, finishing up the letter, he mentions these faithful brethren to give encouragement so that we can stand firm no matter what comes our way, what persecutions, what discouragements, we can stand firm. Because here's these other faithful brethren and brothers and sisters in Christ. They care about us. They send us greetings. They're interested in what's happening with us. And when you look at all that, that should be very encouraging. We're looking forward to that final reward, entering into that eternal glory that he talks about. But while we're here on this earth, serving God on earth, we have other faithful people who are trying to do the same thing.
Oh, I think that's an outstanding way to look at this, in sending these greetings from other places. And then I was noticing in the very final verse, verse 14 of 1 Peter, that he redirects to the recipients of this letter. He talks about all those in other parts of the world who are sharing in their faith, but also sharing in their struggle. But he reminds them to be close with one another. Greet one another with a kiss of love. And he says, "Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus." He talks about them in the very final words. And he wants them to realize that they need one another in the face of persecution, to hold on to their hope, to not give up, but to hold on to that hope of eternal life. And even in the face of some very desperate times, to appreciate one another. Would you agree, Mark, that that's how he kind of wraps things up?
Yeah, I think so. And I love the last phrase, "Peace be to you all who are in Christ." He's talked about a lot of things. They were going to have to suffer. People were going to revile them. The devil is stalking them or prowling around seeking whom he can devour. They're going to have sufferings and persecutions that they may go through. They're going to have the disappointments of life. But if they are in Christ and faithful to him, they have that peace that only Christ can give them. And that's a wonderful way to wrap up the letter.
Those of you who have been following along with us in this study of the book of 1 Peter will see that he keeps going back to the hope we have, and then to the struggle, to the hope and to the struggle, to the hope and to the struggle, to not give up, to stay strong, and when things seem impossible, to trust God even more. And then he winds up, as Mark pointed out, "Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus." I just ask you, do you have peace in your life? Do you have peace with God? Do you have the hope of an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled? Do you have a hope of the glory that's in Christ Jesus? We'd love to study with you about what the Bible says about that, and how you can have that hope of glory. We really appreciate all those who have studied with us through 1 Peter. If you have any questions or comments, or if we can help you, send us an email at truth@ellettsvillechurchofchrist.com. We hope that you'll join us again as we continue to study in God's Word next time for a few more minutes of truth.
Minutes of Truth is presented by the Ellettsville Church of Christ, meeting at 303 West Temperance Street in Ellettsville, Indiana. We invite you to our worship services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. Bible study times are 9:45 a.m. on Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We hope you will join us again next week at the same time for a few more minutes of truth.